Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to those who are watching with us today. I have a very exciting message to give today. It's called A Hidden Message to the 144,000. So, in Revelation 7, I'm going to start. It says, after these things I saw four cherubs standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor in every tree. And I saw another cherub coming up from the rising of the sun, the east, having a seal of the living Elohim. It's very interesting because that word in Aramaic literally means a signet ring. So, because remember the king had his signet ring and he would seal the document with the signet ring showing that it was an official document from the king. So here it is that this cherub's having the seal of the living Elohim, and he cried with a great voice to the four cherubs to whom it was given to them to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we seal the servants of our Elohim on their foreheads. And in the Aramaic, this word also means to put a stamp on, to confirm, but to literally put a stamp on. So it's like they're taking that ring and they're stamping the 144,000. They're stamping the people of Elohim. And I think that this is really, really important because in the times we're living in now where the mark of the beast is almost upon us, and even before that literal chip that's going in many areas of the world, people are already really, really, really being hounded and persecuted for not taking the deadly COVID shot, which is the beginning. It's actually a prerequisite to that mark. So I think it's encouraging to show that if the people of Yahweh, if they stand fast, there's another mark coming that we want to take. But I said this in the message I gave not that long ago on the mark of the beast of the kingdom of Yahweh. There's no dual citizenship in the kingdom of Yahweh. So if you take the mark of the beast, that's why you'll never be in the kingdom of Yahweh. You have literally taken your passport to entering the kingdom of Satan. So to me, this is extremely encouraging to see. If we show the faith and if we stand fast, there is another mark that's coming that is a mark that we do want to take, and that's the mark stamping and confirming our faith and our belief in Yahweh. And then he says, I heard the number of those having been sealed, 144,000 having been sealed out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. Out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 having been sealed. Having the tribe of Yosef, 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 having been sealed. We know 12 is the number of complete government, right? That's why there's 12 tribes, there's 12 apostles. As we'll read later, there's 12 gates in the New Jerusalem. So that's the number of complete government, right? And we see that there's 12 tribes that are listed here from 12,000 each, making 144,000. So even though it's symbolic, it's literal also. So there are symbolism and meaning here that we're going to go over today, but it's also literally, there are literally 144,000 from these 12 tribes who will be sealed. Another thing that's interesting, I think what this shows us is the good news message in the end time, which is what? Primarily, it's the redemption of the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, through the blood of Yeshua, which they didn't have at that time. So I think this proves this. If we go to Matthew 10 and verse 5 through 7, I'll read that. You don't even have to turn there. It says, Yeshua sent these 12 out, again, the number 12, complete government, the 12 apostles, charging them, saying, do not go in the way of the heathen, and do not go into a Samaritan city, right? But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And going proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. And this is what the 12 apostles did. The apostle Paul went to the Gentiles, although he also, later in his ministry, also preach to the tribes, as we know that Yeshua said that to him, that he would be preaching to the nations, to kings, and to the sons of Israel. So, again, we've had many messages on this. I wrote the whole book on that, on the chosen people. But I think that Revelation 7 here, which we always go into other things with, it also proves the good news message, that it is to the 144,000 who are the tribes of Israel. So I think it's missed a lot in there. So it does prove Yahweh is redeeming the 12 tribes and that most believers are part of those tribes. Not every believer. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're not. If you're from the nations or a Gentile that was grafted in, that's fine. There's no predominance in genealogy here because the genealogy is through the bloodline of Yeshua, which every one of us, when we repent of our sins and accept him as our Savior and are baptized, we join his bloodline, his genealogy. But it is important for Yahweh's promises to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob and to the 12 tribes that we understand this. So the first question that always comes up from this scripture is, why is Dan not named? It comes up many times. A matter of fact, I have to say, I think out of the whole Bible, I've been asked that question more than I think any other question that I could think of in the Bible. You know, and not just me being asked, that's a question that always comes up with a lot of people. And today I am going to solve that riddle. So before we end here, during this message, we have solved the riddle, not me, but the Holy Spirit revealing it, why Dan is not mentioned in this list. So who is mentioned? Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Issachar, Levi, Zebulun, Yosef, and Benjamin. A lot of times Levi might not be mentioned. Why? Because the Levites did not have their own territorial land, right? So when we're looking at land allotments, they did have land or cities within all the tribes as priests, but they didn't have their own. Why? Because the priests were Yahweh's, belonged to Yahweh. So when we're looking at this mystery and we're trying to figure out why are though, you know, because another thing is, why is Manasseh listed, right? He's a son of Joseph, and yet Manasseh's listed. And you would think if it's going to be Joseph and one of his sons, it would have been Ephraim, right? But it's not. So all of those questions are going to be answered in our message today. But why are they named in that order that they're named in? Is there significance before this? So there is a big hidden message to all of this that Yahweh is going to reveal to us as we unfold this. So let's start by going to Genesis 29, right? And let's see, because first of all, let's look at when they're born, because I think the listing of the tribes is extremely important to understanding the message to the 144,000. And once we understand why they're listed in a certain way, then we can figure out what Yahweh message is. So let's start in Genesis 29, right? And this is when they're born. And I'm going to start in verse 31, right? And Yahweh saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son and called his name Reuben. And she said, surely Yahweh has looked on my affliction, for now my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, surely Yahweh has heard that I am hated and has given this one to me also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be joined to me because I have borne three sons to him. So she called his name Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and she said, this time I will praise Yahweh. So she called his name Judah or Yehuda. And she ceased from bearing at least four that time. So, very interesting. Here we see that when we're starting right off the bat, we see it's Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And yet in Revelation, it's Judah, Reuben, Gad, and Asher. So it's totally different. As we continue here, I'm not going to read all of it, but we can see what happens next, that Rachel saw that she did not bear to Jacob, and Rachel was jealous of her sister, and she said to Jacob, or Yaakov, give me sons, and if there is none, I shall die. She's being over dramatic there. And Jacob anger glowed against Rachel and said, Rachel, am I in Elohim's place? Who has kept me from the fruit of your womb? And she said, behold, my servant Bilhah, go into her and let her bear on my knees. Yea, let me build up to her also. So we know the story, right? That Jacob Yaakov not only has two wives, but then the two handmaids of the wives were also married to him so that he could have children. So we see that the 12 tribes are coming from four different mothers that are here. So we'll see if that's important in this whole thing or not. So what happens next? Then from Bilhah, Dan comes next. And after Dan is Naphtali. And then after Naphtali is Asher. And then after Asher is Issachar. And after Issachar is Zebulon. And after Zebulon is Yosef. And after Yosef is Benjamin. We know that he was the last one, and we'll probably read that a little later when Rachel was bearing with him and she died on the way, right? And his name was going to be Ben-Ami, the son of, my loss, the son of my sadness, and yet Jacob changes it to Benjamin, the son of my strength. So, excuse me a minute. As we look now at the genealogy here, or, the 12 tribes coming from Genesis 29 and 30 as they're born, we're looking in chronological order, let's say, we see it is very different than how they're listed in Revelation. So, except for the fact that Joseph and Benjamin are named last in both lists of names. So this is the point when you're looking for something, it's kind of interesting. Proverbs 25 in verse 2, what does it say? The glory of Elohim is to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. The glory of Elohim is to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out the matter. So I find it fascinating. I'm almost 40 years in this walk. And every day I wake up and I read my Bible, it's like the first time I'm reading it. It's exciting. It's new. And it's so exciting when you find these things. And like I said, for years, so many people asking me, why Dan isn't listed and why is this with 144,000? And some of the answers, we have suggestions or guesses, but we just don't know. We just don't know. And when Yahweh opens up and reveals things, it's so exciting. But one thing is certain. The Bible says in Isaiah, line upon line, precept upon precept, right? And even in the book of Peter, it talks about not every prophecy is revealed in its own book, right? That, which means what? That one prophet might have gotten part of the prophecy, another prophet gets another part. So this is the exciting part. This is the mystery. As Yahweh is bringing us from scripture to scripture, and then his spirit is analyzing in our mind, and we're looking here, what is the similarities of these? Why is this one named this one and that one that way? And all we see is Yosef and Benjamin, the two children of Raquel, seem to be the only piece of the puzzle here, but there's several other maps we have to look by, right? So which the next one? Exodus 1 is where we also see a listing of the names. So when we look at Exodus 1, right, and we would think in Exodus 1 that the names would also be in chronological order, right? Because they're being named. Matter of fact, let me read it here. And these were the names of the sons of Israel who came into Egypt with Yaakov. They each one came in with his house. So this is all the sons of Israel coming down to Egypt, right, with their wives and their children. And then verse 2, this is how they came. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 75 souls, Yosef being in Egypt. So including Yosef that was there, he's the 12th. But, we wonder here, why are the tribes named this way in this scripture? You would think they'd be named here the same in chronological order of birth, because even when, if you remember, when the sons of Israel came before Joseph, remember when they didn't know who Joseph was because he had all of the Egyptian paint on him, and it was many years since they saw him, but he knew who they were. And what did they do? When he sat down to eat with them, they even sat according to the birthright of Reuben, the firstborn, and in order that way. So you would think here in Exodus, clearly they would name it in order, and yet for some reason they don't. They name Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, right, in order. So those are the firstborn. But then after that, it's then it's Issachar, Zebulun, in Benjamin. Issachar, Zebulun, in Benjamin in verse 3 instead of Dan and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. So why is it twisted that way when this is a very simple scripture just naming the tribes where it should be in another order? And we're not really sure. But it doesn't really help us. This order of the tribes doesn't really help us in what we're looking for in why Revelation is the way it is, at least not yet. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. So let's look at another numbering, you know, another listing of the tribes. Let's go to Numbers 2. Numbers 2 in verse 2. Book of Numbers. Numbers, the second chapter. In verse 2. And what is this? This is where the tribes are stationed around the tabernacle, which is also really, really interesting. Because why? Why were they stationed by tribe around the tabernacle? And why were they stationed according to this way around the tabernacle? So this is a very interesting listing of the tribes, because it's not just listing them like it is in Exodus. In Exodus, it's just naming them coming down to Egypt. So maybe the how they named them and the position they're put in really doesn't mean anything, or maybe it does. But here, very specifically, it does mean something. So let's read it. The sons of Israel shall encamp by their father's house, every man with his own standard, right, according to the ensigns. So now they're very specifically going to be put around the tabernacle according to their standard, according to the ensign. What do they mean? That every tribe had a picture. Every tribe had an ensign or a picture that was related to them. And for anybody who might be watching this with us today, who had come and spent the feast with us in Israel before, you know, around the room, we had the banners, beautiful banners of the 12 tribes there with the picture of each tribe that's there, which is a whole message in itself, right? Of the meaning of each tribe according to their picture. And where does that come from? It comes from the prophecy in Genesis that's there, you know, that talks about, you know, Benjamin being like a wolf and this one being this way, you know. So it's really, really interesting when we look at that. And that's the way that they're going to be encamped. That they shall encamp around the tabernacle of the congregation afar off. So first of all, before we get into who's going to be where, Levi is in the middle, because Levi is in the tabernacle itself, right? So here Levi will not be mentioned with the 12 tribes that we're going to go into, north, south, east, and west. But Levi is in the middle, and Levi is actually, if you read, I'm not going to read it today, but you can actually look up in Numbers, the third chapter, and you could see that even Levi was broken up by the four Levitical orders, north, south, east, and west. So each Levitical order was at a different station that was there. And those who encamped on the east side toward the sun rising, or the standard of Judah, according to the armies, the rulers of the sons of Judah being Nashon, the son of Amminadab, and his army, and those numbered of them were 74,600. And those encamping next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar, the ruler of the sons of Issachar being Netaneel, the son of Zuar, and his army, and those numbered of them were 54,400. And the tribe of Zebulun, the ruler of the sons of Zebulun being Eliab, the son of Helon, and his army, and those numbered with them were 57,400. All the numbered to the camp of Judah were 186,400. Do all these numbers mean something? Maybe. That's, again, another message of Gematria. Maybe, maybe not. By their armies, they shall set forth first. So, again, so now we see on the east side is Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Now on the south side shall be the standard of Reuben, according to their armies, the ruler of the sons of Reuben being Elizur, the son of Shedeur, and his army, and those numbered of him were 46,500. And those that encamp next to him shall be the tribe of Simeon, the rulers of the sons of Simeon being Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, And his army and those numbered of them were 59,300. And then next in was the tribe of Gad, the ruler of the sons of Gad, being Eliphaz, the son of Reuel. And his army and those numbered with him were 45,650. All the numbered of the camp of Reuben was 151,450, according to their armies. And they shall pull out second. And the camp of the Levites with the tabernacle of the congregation shall pull in the middle, like we talked about, right there in the middle of the camp. And each man next to his place. So now, like we said, we have Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun on the east. We have Reuben, Simeon, and Gad on the north. We have the Levites in the middle. And now on the west side is the camp of Ephraim. And next to him, verse 20, is the tribe of Manasseh, the ruler of the sons of Manasseh, being Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. And his army and those numbered with him were 32,200. And the tribe of Benjamin, the ruler of the sons of Benjamin, being Abadan, the son of Gideoni. And his army and those numbered of them were 35,400. And all the number of the camp of Ephraim were 180,100 according to their armies. So we see here on the west side was Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, all coming from Raquel, you know, from the same mother. And then on the north side, we see it's going to be Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. So, show you a picture here, so just that you can see. So this is the tabernacle, right, of Yahweh, where the Levites are. And what do we see? We see to the east side. We see to the east side is Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. To the south side is Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. The middle is, like I said, the Levites are at the tabernacle. To the west side is Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. And to the north are Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. So, like I said, this in itself, and it's pretty interesting that it makes the sign of what would be like a crucifixion sign, right? You know, we know Yeshua wasn't crucified on a cross, but when you put a beam across a tree, it is a cross. So it wasn't a cross like a Roman cross, but it was a cross in the fact that the cross beam crossed the tree. So he was crucified on a tree that was like a cross. And we see that here with the tribes, which I find it kind of interesting, you know, which I think does relate to Yeshua's crucifixion when you look at that. But looking at what we're looking at today, considered to the 144,000, it doesn't seem to have a connection, at least yet. You know, according to the names, we don't see that the names are in the order. We're not sure. But one thing is certain, that the way that Yahweh put the tribes around the tabernacle definitely has meaning to them. But again, maybe for another time. So let's go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Because Revelation 21, which also has a listing, I think, is connected to what we just read here. Revelation 21, and starting in verse 10. Revelation 21, starting in verse 10. He says, "And he carried me in spirit into a great high mountain, and showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, having the glory of Yahweh, and its light was like a very precious stone, as a jasper stone, being clear as crystal, and having a great high wall, having 12 gates and 12 cherubs at the gates, and names having been inscribed, which are the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel." Right? So this is what we just saw here. What we saw here is this is the encampment. This is not Solomon's temple. This is the tabernacle that's there, and this is the way they encamped around the tabernacle. But in the New Jerusalem, look what it says. There's cherubs at the 12 gates, having the names been inscribed, which are the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. From the east, 3 gates, right? We just mentioned that here. Who are those gates? From the east, it's Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. From the north, 3 gates, which would be Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. from the south, three gates, which would be Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. And from the west, three gates, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. So, I do believe that in Revelation, it's definitely talking about what we read there in Numbers 3. And then if we continue, and he's speaking with me, had a golden reed that he may measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city lies four-cornered, even its length as much of its width also. And he measured the city with the reed at 12,000 furlongs. Its length and width and height are equal. So it's like a cube, right? Like if you've ever seen Rubik's Cube, that's what it's like. And he measured its wall 144 cubits, the measure of a man, which is of the cherub. So that's pretty interesting, right? That we see in verse 19, we see that the foundations are from the 12 apostles, but the city is cubed, and the foundation is 144 cubits. So the number 144 comes in there, but it doesn't seem to help us with understanding the message from Revelation 14. At least not yet. But it is interconnected because, again, it is around the tabernacle of Yahweh. It is with the names. So what I'm trying to show you here is that in Scripture, we know that Yahweh works in patterns. So the key when you're really trying to find out a mystery, I always say this, find Yahweh's pattern, and then the mystery takes care of itself from there because Yahweh never changes, right? So this is what we're looking for. We're looking for a pattern. So we're looking for everywhere in Scripture where genealogies and the names of the tribes are named, and if there could be some kind of pattern to tell us why in Revelation 7 would the names be completely different than every other time they're named. So what we see is it's not related to genealogy, because we already checked the genealogy. It's not related to age or tribe formation, right? Didn't seem to make any sense there. It doesn't seem to be related to the mothers, this four mothers, and it didn't seem to be listed according to that. So could there be something we're missing here? This is what I've been looking at for years, you know? And that's where Yahweh's Holy Spirit showed me what was missing. So let's look at another genealogy, right, of name formation. And this is back in Genesis, because like I said, look for Yahweh's pattern. So where's the best place to look for? In the beginning, right? Look for Yahweh's pattern, because the pattern doesn't change. And see if possibly there could be something in that pattern that will tell us the mystery that we're looking for. So let's go back to Genesis 5. Let's go to Genesis 5. Let's see if there's something we can find in this genealogy. A hidden, maybe a hidden clue that can relate us back to Revelation. So this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that Elohim created mankind. He made him in the likeness of Elohim, right? We're made in his likeness, we look like him, and we're being created in, or we're made in his image, and now we want to become in his likeness. He created them male and female and blessed them and called their name Adam, mankind, right? In the day when they were created. And Adam, this is the individual man, right? Lived 130 years and fathered a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and called his name Seth. So we see here that Yahweh definitely is paralleling what he did. Yahweh's creation in Genesis 1:26, right? He creates a man in his image called Adam, and now he's showing that Adam creates a man in his image. So we're showing a genealogy. That's why even when you look, and we're not going in today because it's not part of the purpose of this message, but in Luke 3, the genealogy of Yeshua, that's the way why that genealogy goes all the way back to Adam and to Yahweh. You know, and so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, and we say, and Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of Yahweh. So genealogies are really, really important. In all of them, there's some connection. Some of them are very, very unique in the genealogy and what Yahweh is trying to show us. And can you imagine? We have a 6,000-year genealogy here, going all the way back to the first human being that Yahweh created, and people could still say that Yahweh doesn't exist and there's no creator. You show me anywhere on earth that there's a 6,000-year history written, because they didn't even write back then, that we can know going all the way back to the time of Adam. So, in the days of Adam, after he fathered Seth, were 800 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and fathered Enos. And after he fathered Enos, Seth lived 807 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and fathered Canaan. And he fathered Canaan. Enos lived 815 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and fathered Mahalaleel. And after he fathered Mahalaleel, Canaan lived 840 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years and fathered Jared. And after he fathered Jared, Mahalaleel lived 830 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and fathered Enoch. And after he fathered Enoch, or Hanok, Jared lived 800 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Hanok lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. And Hanok walked with Elohim 300 years after he fathered Methuselah, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Hanok were 365 years. And Hanok walked with Elohim, then he was not, for Elohim took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and fathered Lamech. And after he fathered Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and fathered a son. And who is that son? His name is called Noah, or Noah, right? And it says, this one shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which Yahweh has cursed. So it's interesting. Here's the first 10 names in the genealogy. And we know before we went over this, the message that's in this genealogy, right? But how did we know there was a message here? What was the clue that gave us to say, hey, you know what? The message is in the meaning of the names. Well, because the last name, Noach, says this one shall comfort us. So Yahweh, actually, that's the clue. He's telling us the meaning of the name Noach and that he will comfort us, right? And then the Holy Spirit moves and says, well, why not look up the other nine names? Let's see, maybe there's a message here. And we know it. We went over this before, right? Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enosh means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalael means the blessed Elohim. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah is his death shall bring. Lamech means to long after or despairing. And Noah means comfort or rest. So when we put this message together, what does it mean? Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed Elohim shall come down teaching that his death will bring the long after rest. Wow, can you imagine? And I say, how did the rabbis ever miss this? They're speaking Hebrew. How did they ever miss then in Genesis 5, in the first genealogy in the Bible, tells the whole plan of salvation through the blood of Yeshua? How did they miss it? They missed it because their minds are closed, right? And they're not open to the Holy Spirit showing them, because we have to look for the clues of Yahweh. So now that we see in this genealogy that possibly we're looking in the wrong direction by looking at the why are the tribes listed this way? Why is maybe this one here and this one's missing? Maybe it has something to do with the tabernacle. Maybe it's much simpler than that. Maybe it has something to do with the names themselves. So now, let's go back and see if that's true. Let's go back to Genesis 29 now and see, was there a clue in Genesis 29? Wow, there wasn't one clue.
There were 12 clues.
Well, not all in Genesis 29:30, but all together. There were 12 clues there. How did we ever miss this? And if we would get these clues, we would understand the hidden message to the 144,000 in Revelation 7 and why the tribe of Dan isn't there. So now it's going to start getting exciting. Genesis 29, let's go back, right? Start in verse 31 again. And Yahweh saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, but Raquel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely Yahweh has looked on my affliction, right? Tells the meaning of Reuben. Then next, she conceived again and bore a son and said, Yahweh has heard. And she called his name Simeon. Then she says, now this time my husband will be joined to me. And she called his name Levi. And then she conceived again and she said, I will praise Yahweh. And she called his name Judah, right? And then as we go on here, we see Dan, right? Elohim is judge. We see Naphtali, I have prevailed. We see in my happiness is Asher. And then we see from there, Issachar is Elohim is given my hire. And then we see Zebulon comes next. And then after that, Yosef, may Yahweh add to me another son. May Yahweh add to me Yosef. And then if we go now, we'll go to Genesis 35, the sad story when Raquel doesn't make it with him. And she dies on the way near Bethlehem. And start verse 16 of Genesis 35. And they pulled up stakes from Bethel, and there was yet a length of land to come to Ephrah. And Raquel bore, and she had a hard labor in her bearing. And it happened, when she had hard labor in her bearing, even the midwife said to her, do not fear, for this also is a son to you. And it happened when her soul was going forth, for she died, even she called his name Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. But his father called him Ben-Yamin, son of my strength, and literally means son of my right hand, because the right hand is the hand of strength. And Raquel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. So we see that all of the 12 tribes were all named after very functional because Yahweh names what they do. So understanding this now, right, that the listing of the meaning of the names may be what's important here. Could the list simply be in the order it is because of the meaning of the names? Because we see that order nowhere else in Scripture, right? So let's go back now to Revelation 7 with this understanding and let's see if there's a message there to the 144,000 in the names. Revelation 7. And I'm going to start in verse 4, right? And I heard the number of those having been sealed, 144,000 having been sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. The tribe of Judah, 12,000. The tribe of Reuben, 12,000. The tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, 12,000. The tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, 12,000. The tribe of Levi, 12,000. The tribe of Issachar, 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. The tribe of Yosef, 12,000. And the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. So like I said, could this be that they're in this order for no other reason than that is the order because of the meaning of the names of the message of the 144,000. So let's take a look. Let's look at the meaning of these names in the order that they're listed. And let's see if there's a message there from Yahweh to the 144,000. So again, the name Judah is Yah, shall be praised. Yehudah, Yah shall be praised, or he shall be praised. Reuben, Yahweh has looked on my affliction, or he has looked on my affliction, and talking about Yahweh, of course. Gad is with good fortune. Asher means in happiness. Naphtali is to prevail. Manasseh is we didn't see him because, like I said, he's the son of Yosef, but his name means, you have made me forget. That's what Manasseh means. Simeon means, you have heard. Yahweh has heard. Issachar, may Elohim show mercy. and to give a reward. Levi is to be joined to. We saw that. Zebulon is to give honor. Yosef is to add. He will add to. And Benjamin, the son of his right hand. So when we read this all together, let's see what the hidden message is to the 144,000. Yah, he shall be praised. Yahweh has looked on my affliction with good fortune in my happiness. I have prevailed. Remember, this is the 144,000 saying this now. I have prevailed. You have made me forget. You have heard. May Elohim show mercy and give reward for you to be joined and to give honor and give an honor. May Elohim show mercy and give reward for you to be joined and given honor. And he will add to the son of his right hand in strength. Wow. So here it is. The message to the 144,000 is a message of assurance that they are going to be heirs with Yeshua in the kingdom. Let me read that again. Yah, he shall be praised. Yahweh has looked on my affliction with good fortune in my happiness. I have prevailed, right? The 144,000 are the overcomers, right? You have made me forget. What did he make them forget? He made them forget their old sins. You know, what is he? That's why he says, you know, the Apostle Paul says, this one thing I do, looking forward, looking ahead. The 144,000 aren't, they're proactive. They're not reactive. They're not always looking back, right? I have prevailed. You have made me forget, right? Because they have a new life in Yeshua. You have heard. Yahweh has heard them. May Elohim show mercy and give reward for you to be joined and given honor. And he will add to the son of his right hand in strength. Right? Right now, Yeshua is the only begotten of the Father, sitting at the right hand of him. But when Yeshua returns, the first fruits in the 144,000 are going to be what? They are going to be ruling with Yeshua forever in his kingdom. So, wow, what an amazing message. And that's the reason why the names are the way they are. Now, it's very interesting that in the Aramaic, right, and you really have to look in the Aramaic to even find the meanings of all the names because they're not all listed in the Genesis account, per se. But Levi is before Issachar. Those two are flipped. And it really doesn't make a difference if you read it either way. It comes out to the same message. But this message is extremely important to the 144,000. And that's the only reason the names are listed in the order that they're listed. They're listed in that order because this is what it is. If they weren't in that order, the message wouldn't make sense. And that's the reason why, like I said, you see Yosef is there and not Ephraim. You know, it doesn't make a difference because Ephraim is part of Yosef. That's why Manasseh is there and not Ephraim because it doesn't make a difference. It's not about the tribes per se, although it's about the tribes because the tribes are the 144,000. But this particular Revelation 7, 4 to 8 is about the message to the 144,000. So, the last question that still comes up that people are probably asking, why wasn't Dan listed, right? And it has, we know in other scriptures, in Ezekiel 48, Dan is listed. We know in most of the genealogies I was reading, Dan was listed, right? So it's not that Dan isn't going to be in the kingdom. It's not that Dan's not going to get their allotment. But there's a very simple reason why Dan was not listed. Because the word Dan means condemned and judged. And the 144,000 are not judged or condemned. They have gone from condemnation to life. And that's the reason why Dan isn't there. Because these are not judged. They've already been judged through the blood of Yeshua. I want to show you two scriptures in the New Testament in Thessalonians, though. Or actually one scripture, it's the same verse, that shows you this about Dan. It's in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, right? 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, I'm going to start. And it says, and this is talking about the time we're living in today. Why are the people today not understanding about this vaccine being evil? Why are they not understanding that you shouldn't take the vaccine because it's a prelude to the mark of the beast? And why are they not understanding what Yahweh is doing? Well, and in all deceit of unrighteousness for those who will perish, because why? They did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. It's not that they can't receive it. It's there. The truth is there. A matter of fact, I don't think in my life there's ever been a time more simpler to get the truth if you really want it. But for most people in the world, they don't want it. They want to. That's what it says. And because of this, Yahweh will send to them a working of deception, which we're seeing today, for them to believe the lie. And the lie has already started. We're seeing there are two parallel worlds we're living in. The lie world of Satan and COVID and all this other nonsense, and the true world of Yahweh's mark in the true mark in the 144,000. But look at verse 12. That those not believing the truth, but who have delighted in unrighteousness, all may be damned, or damned. The word is damned. That's the word in the Aramaic. All may be damned. They may be condemned. They may be damned or condemned. So right there, it's very clear. The word there is damned. Damned means to condemn. So that's why damned wouldn't be there, because simply it's a coded message, and their message is not about being condemned. Their message is about receiving salvation with Yeshua as a brother of his, right? And wow, how amazing is that? How amazing is that? Now, if we continue this, I'll continue in verse 13. But we ought to thank Yahweh always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Yahweh, because Yahweh has chosen you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and through a true faith, right? That's all we need now. We need to believe, we need to have faith, and we need to trust in Yahweh. To which he called you through our preaching to be the glory of our Master Yeshua Messiah. So then, brothers, stand firm and strongly hold the commandments you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. But may our Master himself, Yeshua Messiah, and our Elohim and Father, the one having loved us and having given everlasting comfort and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts, and may he establish you in every good word and work. So I think that from verse 13 through 17 is almost a parallel to what we were reading to the hidden message on 144,000 in Revelation 7. It's the same thing. He's telling them, brothers, you know, because they're now set next to Yeshua as a brother with the same reward as him, standing firm in the commandments, and may our Master Yeshua Messiah and our Elohim and Father, the one having loved us and having given everlasting comfort and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts, and may he establish you in every good word and work. Wow. And he is doing that. So this is absolutely amazing. I think it's an amazing message. I'm going to go to one more scripture here in Revelation 14. In Revelation 14, I'm going to start in verse 1. And again, what do we see here? And I saw and behold the Lamb standing. Where is he standing? On Mount Zion. And with him were 144,000 with the name of their Father having been written in their foreheads. What did we say in Revelation 7? Remember when it says, do not harm the earth in verse 3, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we seal, we put a stamp on these people. So here it is, they're standing on Mount Zion. With him were 144,000 with the name of Yahweh. Is it important? You better believe it. And if you don't think it's important, I can guarantee you, you ain't one of these 144,000. Having been written in their foreheads. And then verse 2. And I heard the sound of heaven as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of great thunder. Also, I heard a sound of harpers. Harping on their harps. Wow, I'm picturing it so much, I can almost hear a harp. And they sing as a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one was able to learn the song except the 144,000 and those having been redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who had not become defiled, right? For they are pure. These are the ones following the Lamb wherever he may go. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And why? Because no decoy, no falsehood was found in their mouth, and they are unmarked before the throne of Yahweh. They don't have the poison COVID injection death shot, and they certainly don't have the chip and the mark of the beast. and they're with them on Mount Zion. So the 144,000 are faithful, unmarked, unvaccinated, and they love and they follow the truth. As Satan is bringing his lie and mark on humanity, who is deceived because they don't have the love of the truth, Yahweh is marking his people with his truth, and he gives the hidden message to the 144,000 who love the truth and repent of all unrighteousness. And they follow Yeshua in everything with no compromise, even if it means death. May we put our faith in this only true seal of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom.